Hi, I'm Dave Jackson. Welcome to another JPR Live session where we get to know artists we admire and get one-of-a-kind live performances from the JPR Steve Nelson Performance Studio. This JPR Live session is made possible with the support of the Talent Club in Talent, Oregon. With me today is a Portland-based outfit, plays alt country with a rockabilly vibe and some punk sensibilities. It's Jenny Don't and the Spurs. Welcome to JPR.
Hello, thanks for having us.
It's good to see you guys here. You're fronted by Jenny Don't, and founded along with your life and musical partner, Kelly Halliburton, on bass.
Yeah, he's...
And you guys have a new album coming out in June. It's called Broken Hearted Blue.
Correct.
All right. And you were both playing in other bands in the Portland punk scene when you met. Tell us where you got your start.
I moved to Portland from Bellingham, Washington in 2008 with the intent to play music. I met the previous Spurs drummer named Sam Henry at that time, and him and I started a band together called Don't. Sam Henry was originally in the Wipers, a Portland punk band in the late 70s. And then Kelly Halliburton was playing with Want to Take It Over?
I've been in a string of bands since the late 80s. You know, just a lot of...
Which is crazy because he's only like 25.
Right.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You know, a lot of punk rock bands over the years. And I guess most recently I was in a band called Pierced Arrows with Fred and Tootie Cole from the Portland garage rock band Dead Moon at the time that Jenny and I met. So, you know, she used to come on tour with us sometimes, and she was on tour with her own band. And we kind of started this band in order to enable ourselves to be on tour together.
And now it's lived longer than any of our other projects. And so now we to condense a long story, now we have Buddy Weeks on drums with us, and Christopher March plays guitar, and he's been with us for about 8 years now. Yeah, there's a good music scene in Portland. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I wanted to move to Portland from Bellingham was because of that. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty supportive scene where musicians just really genuinely like each other and want to play with each other.
Yeah. And there's a lot of sort of fluidity between the scenes and the bands, and mm-hmm. you know, we all have kind of drifted between different genres over the years, and yeah, it's just a really, really open and supportive place to be a creative person.
Yeah, it does seem to be a hot spot for music right now. I'm enjoying just almost everything that comes out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have recorded on Fluff and Gravy, and it's like whenever they have something new out, it's like, I got to check this out.
Yeah.
So why don't you start us off with a song? What do you want to play?
We're going to start this set off with Pain in My Heart. That's on the new album. And we released this as one of the first featured singles last month. So.
Great.
You might have, some people listening might have already heard it.
This is Jenny Don't and the Spurs in a JPR Live session.
There's a pain in my heart, and I don't really understand it. But the moment I saw you is when I failed to start. And there's a low I won't go, and I'm doing all I can just to avoid it. But when you walked out on me is when I failed through the floor. I treated you poorly, and now I'm sitting here just in
Jenny Don't and the Spurs in a JPR live session. That was Pain in My Heart. It's from their upcoming album called Broken Hearted Blue that's due out in June. And Jenny Don't and the Spurs are touring on the West Coast right now. They're playing in Reading tonight at the Art Hunger Gallery. And you can get more information at jennydontandthespurs.com. So you guys had a rough couple of years kind of with the loss of your drummer and some other things that went on. Tell us about your drummer.
Yeah, Sam Henry. He was wonderful. He was a real lover of music, one of the true, you know, true rock and rollers through and through. I mean, he just loved getting in the van, and he was fun to hang out with. And he was really had a, I don't know, how would you say, like a wide range of bands that he had played with over the years as well.
Yeah, he was kind of a consummate musician. You know, he played pretty much every instrument pretty well, and just had an enthusiasm for just about every style of music, you know, that name sometimes for better or worse.
Yeah, we'd be in the van and we'd hear a bagpipe metal blasting out of his headphones.
But it was great. You know, he started out, playing drums at a really, really early age, and he was just, you know, one of the best classically, you know, jazz trained musicians, and we were just, you're really lucky to work with him.
And he was blind as well. So, really? Yeah, he'd have a magnifying glass, and, you know, if he's trying to see anything, he'd make it one eye giant. And even then, he still couldn't see, so he'd have his menu or his phone right up to his face. And people were like, what's that guy doing over there? Oh, he's reading.
Yeah, it was a real loss to the Portland music culture, when he passed, not just us personally. Everyone loved Sam.
Yeah.
But, we bounced back, and We figured...
We found another guy just as equally as crazy and wants to be in a van playing on the road just about as much as Sam. So it's not every day you luck out twice.
Right. And then an album that came out, was it Fire on the Ridge? It had some fits and starts getting recorded and released. Tell us about that.
It was kind of cursed. We didn't know it when we went into it, but everything in the power of the world was trying to make it not come out.
Right.
Yeah, we re-recorded it, and I had to have vocal cord surgery in the middle of the recording session, so that set us back. And then the kitchen at the studio caught on fire, which was also his house, so that set things back. And then a water heater exploded and flooded the studio and ruined a bunch of stuff. And then there was some...
Then there was
a pandemic, and then there was some crashed hard drives. If we had to re-record the whole thing over.
Holy cow.
But I mean, that was actually pretty good because when we went into it with my vocals being like pretty awful, the first round of recording was like not the best. And then when we went in with all refreshed and we'd already had one recording of it behind us. It came out much better. So
what was going on with your throat and your vocal cords?
I had polyps. Uh-huh. I was working in multiple bars at the time, and some of them like music nightclubs. So I was yelling over music a lot. Mm-hmm. And so they said I was I needed to talk softer. Uh-huh. And so it was a year of trying to figure out how to go about it without surgery. Although I wish we had just gotten the surgery in the beginning, because mm-hmm. that year was very long of try this and 2 weeks of no speaking and try this. So it was a very quiet year for Kelly. But then we got the surgery. I had, you know, the polyps removed, and then one vocal cord had to just be sliced down the entirety of it because it had become warped from trying to overcompensate because of an obstruction that it was touching. But it was a 12-week recovery, and I just talked with a text-to-voice app. I made myself sound like a 100-year-old British lady for a while, so that was pretty fun. And
you should have recorded an album with that.
Yeah. But, you know, after the recovery, I bounced back pretty good, and I've had my vocal cords looked at after tours just to make sure everything's still good, and they're doing good. So
great.
Yeah.
After all of that, you know, it's like after that sort of year and a half of inactivity due to COVID and all that, those setbacks, and then, you know, with Sam's passing, it was almost out of spite that we just kicked it into overdrive as far as the touring and recording and all that goes. You know, we'd already had a pretty busy schedule and, you know, done and tons of touring before that, but now it's even more. Now we're just on tour almost all the time. And, you know, back and forth across the country, all over Europe and Australia and New Zealand. We just did a tour in Southeast Asia. We just got back from Mexico in February. So,
well, in 2020 started out that in February, we all played in Iceland. And so we were like, all right, we've got a full touring schedule, you know, and then obviously what happened, so.
Right.
But yeah, last year was the busiest year we've had.
So you guys have kind of a following outside of the States, almost bigger than it is here.
It depends on where you go. We do really well in Australia and parts of New Zealand and, you know, different parts of Europe.
How did you start just reaching out to get to play out there?
Well, I started touring abroad, you know, when I was really young, you know, like almost 35 years ago, I think I did my first European tour, and it's just such a different dynamic than touring in the States. It's just great. People really appreciate the artists over there. It's a pleasant place to be, you know, period. It's just like the infrastructure is great. It's beautiful. You're in all these historic places and you sleep in 1,000-year-old castles and stuff.
And they have this real like camaraderie with the people running the shows and the bands. Everyone usually has dinner together, and then the next day you have breakfast together a lot of the times as well.
It's just a really good comfortable fun place to tour, you know. So I spent most of the 90s touring in Europe and the first part of the 2000s, and you know, when we started this band, I think we toured Europe before we even toured the States. But you know, we like touring in the States too. But it's good. We've got a sort of a circuit going where we do a rotation, you know, different parts of the U.S. And then we'll go abroad to somewhere cool, and then we'll, you know, by the time we're sick of that, we'll come back and tour here again.
We're finally going to the northeastern part of the U.S., which we've never ventured to very far. So touring with this album, I'm really looking forward to that. And Canada, we've never played in Canada, so. Some first appearances happening for us.
That's cool. All right. Well, how about another song? What do you want to play?
We're going to do Unlucky Love. The song came out yesterday, and this is the second single that we're featuring off of Broken Hearted Blue.
It's Jenny Don't and the Spurs in a JPR live session. Thank you. Lucky Love. It's a new one from Jenny Don't and the Spurs from the upcoming album Broken Hearted Blue, which is due out in June. You can find more about Jenny Don't and the Spurs at jennydontandthespurs.com. So it's been said that you earned your moniker, Jenny Don't. How did that come about?
I've just heard it my whole life. I felt like I was getting into trouble a lot, and maybe not even in my mind getting into trouble, but doing things people said I ought not be doing. Uh-huh. And I said, I'll just call myself that and save you the trouble.
Well, I guess it works. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any stories that you want, that you can share?
I don't know. Maybe not on the radio. We'll talk about that later. No.
All right. Sounds good.
Where cussing would probably be involved in that story.
Okay. So the new album, Broken Hearted Blue, due out in June. How did you guys go about recording the new one? What was the process? Anything different from the past, or what was?
Yeah, you know, we recorded with Colin Hegna on this one, and we've been wanting to work with him for a long time, and so we were grateful to be able to have the both of us at the same place at the same time, you know, mm-hmm. with the availability. And he plays with Brian Jonestown Massacre, and mm-hmm. he also plays with the Portland band called Federale. Mm-hmm. So he's busy, and he knows kind of the sound that we were trying to achieve. And it was nice recording with him. And Kelly and I collaborated more on this one together in the writing process than we have previously. Mm-hmm. So that was an enjoyable experience as well. But, you know, we had a busy year last year, and so we really just were on the road a lot. Mm-hmm. And when we got home, we just kind of kicked it into high gear with practicing and writing, and then crammed in a album recording session and hit the road again.
Wow.
But I feel like, you know, we hoped that it would turn out well, but it exceeded my expectations when we got the final result.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks.
So in the past, how were you putting together? Did you bring in songs and then you guys made structure around them? Is that basically?
Yeah. You know, I'd have probably three quarters or even the whole song done, and then the song, we'd bring it into practice, and then the guys would listen to it, and it would kind of evolve into something else based on what it would conjure up in somebody's, you know, in their mind.
So people writing their own parts, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of cool because we all have a pretty eclectic view of music and interests, and Christopher, for instance, will be like, oh, this made me think of, you know, 1960s, whoever. And I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even envision this song going in that direction. Uh-huh. That's cool. It's perfect. So uh-huh. it's nice to be able to like collaborate together with that. And this album is also the first one that we recorded with Buddy Weeks. So that's a new thing. And that was really nice because sometimes, you know, okay, you tour well together, you hang out, it's fun, but maybe the recording process isn't as enjoyable with somebody. Right. But it was great. We all work well together in that aspect, too. So.
That's great.
I do think that this album's a little bit more mature sounding than some of our previous ones.
Well, what got you interested in playing kind of the country, alt country that you're doing now?
I kind of always have played this, even on, you know, parallel with the punk bands that I was playing uh-huh. in. Sam and I would play acoustically on patios just for bar parties and that sort uh-huh. of thing. And then when Kelly was playing with Pierced Arrows, Fred and 2D Cole started doing a duo set, just the two of them, and they go, oh, you know, Jenny, we know you have some songs, and, you know, their voices were a little more gruff than, hey, Jenny, you know. But they're like, we know you've got some songs, and you and Kelly have been playing around with the idea of playing, so we booked you a show, you know, March 12th with opening for us, and we're like, oh, my gosh, we don't do that, and they're like, well, you better figure it out, because yeah. you're playing. And so that was what really, you know, lit the fire for us to get going, and it was really fun, and the response, you know, people were really supportive. And it just made it even much more fun than that, you know, because we're kind of unsure. We're like, oh, we're doing this thing. We like it. I hope other people do.
Yeah, I mean, when we started doing this, there was no intention of taking it as far as we did. Uh-huh. It was just kind of, you know, we were both in busy touring, recording bands of our own. And this was, you know, a fun sort of medium with which we could experiment. It was totally different than what we had played previously in our other bands, and it was cool, you know. And it was the more we did it, the better the response got, and it was fun. There was a lot more, you know, nuance and room for experimentation and that sort of thing than you would expect. So it was, you know.
Yeah, we could play a wider range of venues with this band as well.
Right.
You know, we're like, man, I kind of want to be able to play somewhere where we're in the back and nobody has to watch us. They could just listen to us. But then now that's evolved. We're like, no, now you've got to watch us.
Right.
But, you know, we can play a winery. We could play a punk club. We can play a brewery. We can play a backyard patio. And we have...
We played places all over the place where we would have probably been thrown out, you know, had we showed up with one of our previous bands. You know, so it was great. It was almost like being incognito.
Yeah.
Well, it's been interesting the last maybe 10 years or so. A lot of people who are into punk sort of went the way of folk or country music. And it's all basically three chords in the truth, kind mm-hmm. of. It's like, you know, punk comes from that point where people are telling their story and playing a guitar to back it up. And country, you know, does that same sort of thing.
It's took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, I should let you say it.
I always said that the energy, the emotional, you know, sources that sort of fueled the punk rock scene have a lot of parallels in the country scene and the rockabilly scene and the early rock and roll scene. You know, a lot of it springs from this whole like blue collar working class kind of, you know, outlet for creativity. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a similar socioeconomic place and a similar emotional place.
Right.
So there's a lot more parallels than probably either side of the aisle would like to acknowledge.
Right.
I also like, you know, if you're like, oh, it's not really punk. And I was like, there's nothing more punk rock than bringing your cowboy band to a punk club.
Right.
You know, and in Europe, some people were coming like, what is this? Especially Kelly, just like, what is this band? She's wearing a cowboy hat and this and that. And then at the end of the night, you know, the guy's like, give me that hat. I'm a cowboy now. So it's been nice, too, to be kind of, you know, where people aren't sure if they like Western music. They have an idea in their mind that it's just the top 40 or something like that. And they're like, oh, I don't like that style.
Right.
And then they hear it and they go, oh, actually, maybe I do like that style. Because there's a lot of different variables in Western music, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Well, a lot of people think of, you know, when we say country, they think of, you know, sort of Nashville pop, overproduced pop country, which doesn't, you know, have any relationship to what we do.
Right.
And it
doesn't have any relationship to Johnny Cash, really.
No.
Or Hank Williams.
Nothing. You know, the style of country that we're largely influenced by peaked in popularity somewhere around 60 years ago.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
we're almost like an anachronistic sort of
experiment. Yeah, I knew there was some
experiment.
I knew that the tables were like, whoa, I think we're playing country, but we played early in the Spurs career where we were still playing like Ernest Tubb covers and Patsy Cline covers. And,
right.
And we left a venue and someone goes, what kind of music is that? What do you call that genre? I'm like, oh, no.
There's a lot tied up in the names of genres that I don't know. I think people get too attached to them sometimes.
Northwestern, Western.
That's nice. I like that. Well, how about wrapping up with one more song? What do you guys want to play?
Yeah, we're going to play another track off of Broken Hearted Blue called One More Night.
Excellent. It's Jenny Don't and the Spurs in a JPR live session. We'll be right back.
you better tell them I'm staying one more night.
One More Night is Jenny Don't and the Spurs. They're my guests today in a JPR live session, and they're performing tonight at the Art Hunger Gallery in Reading. Find tickets, merch, tour schedules, more information at jennydontandthespurs.com. Thanks, you guys, for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us out. This is wonderful.
We really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to Broken Hearted Blue when it gets here.
Yep, we've got a lot of, we're releasing songs. We've got new videos. Lots of tour dates happening. I keep it updated, so
it
might be something new every time you click on our site.
JennyDontandTheSpurs.com for more information. JPR Live Sessions are engineered by John Griffin of Luna's End Studios, made possible with the support from the Talent Club. They offer cold beverages and live music in a casual atmosphere in downtown Talent, Oregon. Their live music schedule is available at talentclublive.com. You can find this live session archived at our website, ijpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. For JPR, I'm Dave Jackson. Stick around. Open Air continues next.